2019, baby. Hello and welcome to edition 238 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One and, of course, the first of the new season. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, where Team Lotus thrived, Martin Brundle learned to ride with stabilisers, and George Russell shares a coffee with Alex Albon. I think that probably does happen. We are sat here at the iconic Rushcutters public house on the outskirts of Norwich. It is, of course, our home away from home. It's where Colin Chapman and Graham Hill once supped a pint. We are also going out on Future Radio, at least that's the plan, thanks Steve Rust, as we have done for a few years. And we are, of course, across all our podcast channels, and we are here to preview the 2019 Formula One season, our eighth year of doing what we love. Coming up, what's in store for us on the grid, the calendar, the issues, the teams, the cars, and everything else in between. And we'll probably, of course, talk about these guys over the winter and all the fun and games they've had. We'll preview Australia, and we'll also get our predictions for Melbourne and the new season. Can we actually cram anything more in? I don't know. Anyway, let's make it sound like it's not just me talking to myself in a room and introduce everyone else. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there. I've still kept my job, so that's good news. Joining us on tonight's pod, we have Damon Hill Radical and blogger Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
Well done, Rich. You've been waiting for that for a while, haven't you? It's been a couple of months since you got to do it.
It has, yeah. I've been kind of... this isn't true, but I've been waking up every morning saying it to myself just to get in the spirit, you know, so... That wasn't true, so I don't really know why I said
it. You tried to cover yourself there, but I don't think it worked. Next up, blogger and the man Lewis Hamilton fans love to hate, but will it continue this year? Maybe he's turned over a new leaf. It's Callum Springle. Hello there, Cal.
Good evening.
I've decided to call you Cal a lot now.
It's a bit of a throwback.
Is it?
Yeah, I've not been called that since, like, start of high school.
Okay. Was it a good time for you? Were you getting bullied or anything like that? Or was it all right? I just don't want to bring back bad memories.
Middle of high school was good.
Okay. Yeah. This was early, though. I'm worried now.
Yeah, early was a bit.
Okay, all right.
Lunch money stolen.
Yeah. Callum. Let's just call him Callum and keep it all light. Lovely to see you, my man. How are you?
Good. Reasonably.
Reasonably good. How's the blog? Oh, so let's get your blog blog addresses in.
It's callumspriggle.wordpress.com. I feel I may be investing in something to get rid of the WordPress dot bit.
Oh.
But I don't know. It depends, because I want to properly start up again now, basically.
Are you thinking branding?
Sort of.
What would it be? Cal Sprig? I thought that would have missed the N out, so that doesn't really work.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Calol.
Where's the logic
in that?
I've
taken out the lum and the spring.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Calol.
Yeah.
Calol F1.
I'll add it to the list.
I'm available for all marketing and content strategies. Anyway, keep an eye out for Callum's blog over the coming... well, you're going to be blogging over the course of the season, aren't you?
Yeah. It's just customary, really, isn't it?
Customary indeed. And, of course, also with us, another McLaren fan. It's a fair cop for Nathan Tuck. I mean, that is terrible, isn't it? But I'm not dropping it because I love it.
You use it every time.
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you, Nathan?
Yeah.
You well?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, and happy to be here, as ever.
It's really good. And I'm glad that we managed to scrape us together after testing, which kind of threw me a little bit with the schedules. And hopefully these guys have seen plenty of it. But I'm glad we're all well. Can you pick out for me one really good thing you've managed to do since Formula One finished, something really aces about your winter?
Well, I spent a lot of the winter kind of following briefly online the F1 season from 20 years ago.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
So what? You hang on. Yeah, so you spent the winter watching 1998. Thank you. 1998 season.
99. This year I went to 99. Last year I went. Well, yeah, last year it was kind of 98 season. This year I was like, let's go one ahead and let's do 99. And that was some season, actually. I was 9 years old, so I don't really remember it. So it was quite a nice surprise seeing who won the races.
What was your highlight from it?
Johnny Herbert winning for Stewart.
Wow.
In, I think it was the European Grand Prix they called it. It was the Nürburgring track.
Was it, and the racing? What you've compared it to, say, you know, the current genre?
I mean, Ferrari were at the front. McLaren were as well, which is a bit different to now, so, well, possibly, we yet to see, but
come on.
But no, it was interesting, it was good, some of the stars. And I'll tell you something, when you got the young Martin Brundle there and you hear him today, you really appreciate the guy, what he's done. Ted Kravitz as well. Obviously, there was a big outcry recently for him with Sky Sports and all their coverage. And that is something, in my opinion, he's damn sight better than James Allen was. So,
ouch, burn. Nathan, how about your winter?
Yeah, it's been good. I've watched a lot of football. The whole Norwich City thing is all very exciting. It's reaching fever pitch. But I suppose from a kind of motorsport type thing, loosely related, I have a holiday booked to Dubai and in a few weeks' time. And we are certainly going to be trying to get ourselves to Ferrari World, which I think is about, you probably know this, Rich. It's probably like about an hour and a half away from Dubai, something like that. An hour and a half, 2 hours.
A couple of hours or so.
Yeah. Now, Bridget didn't enjoy it because you had to pay for things separately inside, so just be aware of that.
Oh, I see. Well, do I need to be aware of that?
Well, you might not, because we got, with the race tickets, we got included the park thing, so you get entrance into the park, but it's free entry and then access to the rides, in which case you have to pay extra and then get a wristband. So we're just like, we'll just kind of look around everything instead.
Yeah, why would I want to go on the rides?
Save some dirhams.
Are you going to go back, I'm sure?
Fastest roller coaster in the world?
Know,
is that
right?
Is that what's there, I think?
Yeah. And if it's hot, then it's a nice breeze to cool you down as well. So.
It's Dubai, it's going to be hot, isn't it?
You have to go on the karting track as well, though I dread to think how much that actually is. But, you know,
if
you're going to go to Dubai, might as well just, you know, go bankrupt. Yeah, exactly.
You can also hire, I think, a Ferrari California to drive around the island from Ferrari World. So.
Oh, can you?
Have a look at that. If you really want to throw your money out.
I'm not sure. It wasn't included on the tickets.
No.
So you had no interest in it.
Amazing, though. Wow. Well, have an amazing time.
Yeah.
That's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Easter. Easter.
You might miss some games, Nathan.
Yeah, two games, unfortunately.
I think we just need some context, Abs, because a lot of you listening will probably have no idea about football or soccer or care. Obviously, my job, I work in the local media here. All these guys are actually Norwich City fans, Norwich City being the local football team. If you have a look at the English football pyramid, I'm sure you'll all know about the Premier League, and you'll have a look at the division below. You might find Norwich City atop of that, and at the moment, anyway, as we speak. And it's all going a bit mental. So we'll see how that all works out, but clearly it's a very busy, very exhilarating time. We'll see how it all pans out. Callum, the highlight of your winter?
So dovetailing off of what Rich said, I've been watching the 2017 Super GT season.
Wow. Niche.
Very niche.
Slightly niche. And besides that, I've, you know, as you now know, I've spent £1,300 on a steering wheel for sim racing.
Yeah. Now, this is it. This is the first mention of it. Callum is quite clearly going to try and do that McLaren eSports thing, which is amazing. We'll back you all the way, not with money, but certainly support and goodwill, which is good. I think you should make that happen, Cal.
Can I have a sticker?
Yes, definitely. But your brother or your dad might have to produce them, because that's how it works. Where the sticker goes, I don't know. As I say, probably just on your forehead, because obviously you've got no side pods. Or has... Does, I mean, for £1,300, I've got to be honest, I'd want side pods. Tell you what, just get your brother to mock some up. He can do that.
It's got a flat surface, so
yeah.
I could probably stick it on there somewhere.
All right, well,
if it was small enough.
Boxes and spray paint. And just,
Works for my boy. I still like the idea of side pods. I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't know how to side pods. I must say, God, we've already been going 10 minutes. We haven't even talked about anything properly. The highlight of my winter was my boys getting them cars 1, 2 and 3. So I'm now all over who Jackson Storm is, which is exciting. You all looking completely blank, which I love. All over it, brilliant. What a brilliant set of films. My boy now runs around pretending he's racing, which is a good start. Hopefully for a long and successful career in Formula 1. If anyone wants to help me out with that, then please send your checks to the NRF1 podcast. I'll do the rest.
But I'm pretty sure we could create a little circuit somewhere and you can teach him racing lines.
Yeah. There's a great bike track at Pilling Park. Okay, well, let's get to talk about some Formula 1, shall we? Now, of course, there hasn't actually been any proper Formula 1. We have just come back from testing, not us. Obviously, we don't get to do that, but the teams have just embarked on their 2 weeks. 2 weeks that were held inside of a period of 3 weeks, which caught me out completely. I thought there was a week in between, and there wasn't. But they are done. They've done all their running that they're going to get before they head to Melbourne. It's a frighteningly fast turnaround, and I have to be honest, one of the most exciting times of the year. You guarantee this part of the season is so exciting. Can we find 5 things that we've learnt or that have pricked our attention ahead of the first race? What have we learnt from testing? Callum.
Fernando Alonso is the worst thing to happen to McLaren in the last 20 years.
Oh. Big statement, how come?
Well, because Honda are now supposedly, at the very least, ahead of Renault. And Red Bull are supposedly challenging Mercedes and potentially are the prime threat to Ferrari at the minute. All with a Honda engine, which they've only just put in the car. And if I'm right in thinking, they've had no engine-related issues all through pre-season. Nor, I think, of Toro Rosso. Whereas, alright, McLaren haven't been any worse either, but where exactly are they in the field?
So how come you're pinning that all on poor old Fernando? Couldn't have been Fernando's fault.
Mr. GP2 engine.
Touché. I'm going to throw this caveat at a lot of people, but I mean, it's testing. Everyone comes back with loads of things about testing, and then we get to Melbourne and all of a sudden everything looks a bit different.
Yeah, but if you look at it in the right way and you look at the right times, you can still get a fairly decent grip on where the cars are going to be in Australia. Because if you look at it from last year, it looked as though Mercedes were a bit quicker than Ferrari out of testing, and then it was Ferrari and Red Bull and sort of Haas and Renault and McLaren and so on and so forth, and come Australia that pretty much turned out to be true after qualifying, and pretty much over the course of the first four races that was fairly close to being true as well. So it's not as though testing is completely academic, it's just you do have to know how to interpret it.
Now, on the Patreon videos we just did, Nathan, just ahead of recording, you've already let slip your optimism for McLaren. Mm. I mean, yes. Surely horribly placed optimism for McLaren. It's a team that's on its has been for years.
Has been on its but I think you'll all find that this is the best...
Is this the season?
...testing that they've had for, what, 5 years since they actually got, you know, shafted out of Mercedes engines. I think this is as good as it's been. Well, it is as good as it's been, because it was absolute abysmal with Honda. And I just think there are so many reasons for optimism. Don't get me wrong, I don't think they're going to be on the podium in Melbourne, that's you know, or anytime soon. But I think that whole midfield looks like it's going to be so competitive. And the number of laps that they've managed to put in as well without breakdowns is, again, it encourages me.
I mean, we last couple of years especially, it would be McLaren haven't got out of the garage, or yeah, something's gone wrong, and they've just lost a day of testing.
Yeah, it's been like that, hasn't it? It's been awful. And this time they've been putting in fairly quick times. I mean, they're not, you know, too far away. I know you can't judge anything from it though, can you? Because it's all you know, I mean, Callum obviously knows a lot more than me about, you know, interpreting testing, but it's just, you never know what they're running, how much fuel they've got, what their strategy is on that particular run. It's just so difficult to judge it.
I must admit, on the first day of the first test, I think McLaren had quite a difficult start, and then by the end of it, they'd stuck a really couple of fast laps in, and I'm pretty convinced someone in the garage went, we are not ending the first day of testing being shit and having shit headlines. Stick some softs on, yeah. Some f***ing softs. Have we even got those this year? No? Doesn't matter. Find some, yeah. Put them on the car, get 5 seconds ahead of everyone, and they'll be the headlines. Yeah. So yeah. Better not keep swearing, because I think of people in the rush cutters might be like, who are these sweary people in the corner? Obviously, talking about how much McLaren have improved is great in terms of their testing, but there's always the team that replaces them with the hell, and that was probably Williams, because their first test was basically about a day long.
Yeah, they didn't really have much luck, shall we say, with the first test.
You're going with luck, are you?
Yeah, I'm going with luck. I'm going to say luck, and I'm going to say it was bad.
But if they didn't have bad luck, there'd be no luck.
But that's the thing. It's quite sad, really, to see Williams in this kind of mess almost. It wasn't really that long ago, and they were top team in the spot. I mean, even 2014, they were still getting podiums. And they kind of have dropped off, you know, a bit more since then. But they've got a good driver for definite. Another one who's kind of still got to prove himself in Kubica, I would say.
Okay. I was just checking which way round you were going with that, yeah.
No, I mean, we know what Russell can do, not just because we're from Norfolk, but you've seen him through F3 and F2. And he can...
In GP3, yeah.
You don't want to look at him in F3. Yeah.
Callum knows.
You know what I meant. But you've seen him in there, and he's, you know, he's good, he's a racer, he knows what he's doing. So I think he's got the experience of ready for Formula One. Kubica still kind of yet to see what he can fully do racecraft anyway, but I'm sure he hasn't lost it. So
that's the thing, we know the base level with Robert Kubica, don't we? And we will talk about George a bit more in our new segment coming up for the new season. But it is interesting with Kubica that there's a few bits that have been out today saying, oh, I feel about 20% ready for the season, and even suggestions that he's not fully, doesn't feel fully confident, I suppose. And this is clearly a big season for him. This is a huge opportunity that he probably thought he would never get. But I find it interesting the tone of what's coming out. I mean, there's obviously a bit of dampening of expectations, but you know, I'm used to racing drivers being so stubbornly, almost delusionally confident in their own abilities, no matter what. That to even hear a driver talking in that way, on one hand, it's brutally honest and fair play, and that shows probably a level of realism you don't always associate with a Formula One driver. At the same time, I find it a real worry, because if you're already saying that, we haven't even had a race yet, how is that going to sort of translate into the actual racing, when, let's be honest, elbows out, you're off the track if you give anyone a man. The worst thing would be to see Robert Kubica, you know, trailing around, you know, he may well be in a car, but you know, trailing around slower than anyone else relatively, obviously, because he hasn't got it.
No, absolutely. I mean, if with the way he's been talking, it almost sounds like he hasn't got full confidence in his own ability, really, and that's, you know, a real worry for him and the team. But I mean, it's such a dangerous position he's in, because if he, you know, Russell completely outshines what, you know, everything that Kubica does, he'd be lucky to have a driver next season, and that's his Formula One career over. Even though it's been such a great story to have him back on the grid, because I really like him. I think in his prime he was brilliant, and I just hope that he's still got it.
I think I'm right in saying that he only ever managed 15 consecutive laps is the most he ever did in testing. So this set of testing. So if you're struggling with confidence and you're trying to learn a new car and you're getting into a Formula One car again, and you're only able to do 15 laps, and then for whatever reason you stop and you've got to start again, and you're back in the garage and wonder, and you don't get enough of a go at it, it's going to be difficult on day one for him, I think. Like you say, elbows out, and it's going to be hard. We all know that.
He has done more than that in terms of testing during last year, I guess, didn't he? Because he had a couple of tests with Renault that were quite high profile. I seem to remember him racking up a lot of laps then, but that is clearly an issue if that's the most he's managed, because I would guess everyone's done longer runs and longer consecutive stints than that over the course of testing.
Yeah, I suppose if you've got a car that's already been a bit of a problem, all you'd really want to do is just get in and drive it, especially when you've been out of an F1 car for 8 years, and you've got a gammy arm, basically. Then naturally you'd want to test your fitness work that you've done over the winter, and you'd want to test the car out so that mentally you're with it. But I think that's probably just one of those things. Because looking at headline times, I never really got the impression that Russell was massively far ahead of him anyway. So I think it's probably just one of those things that, all right, he might not be 2010 Kubica anymore, but with a few races under his belt, the car's going to get better and he's going to get better with it. So it's just one of those things that's probably going to take time.
It's a long season as well, really long season. I mean, look at Grosjean last year. His first season he was crashing all over the place, and then second half of the season he really turned it around. He was getting some really good results. I mean, Kubica is, you know, effectively got half a season to get used to the car still and get to form, so that's a really good point.
If Rogro can do it, anyone can do it. And it's a fair point about the season, actually, because I was going through it today, and I think it starts earlier than it did last season. But likewise,
It finishes in December.
The Hungarian Grand Prix is in August, so you're not going to get a winter break until after the first week of August. Summer break. Sorry, thank you. I'm getting confused about football.
One for our Australian listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone south of the equator. Hungary, which obviously ends the first half of the season, that is actually in August, and then Belgium, actually the Grand Prix is the 1st of September, so it's gonna be a great long drag. That's what I'm saying. That's one of the things I've learned. We haven't spoken about the three leading teams. Anyone want to have a stab at what we learned in testing about those guys? I can tell you what I guess, the general noises, which is A, Ferrari are quick. This is surely the year, obviously, that's what we hear, but it does seem like there's some backing. To the point where Mercedes have said, yeah, they probably are quicker, but as we get closer to the race, they seem to be altering from we've got work to do to we'll be all right. And then, of course, Red Bull, who are going to have a Honda engine in the back of it, and it could be good, it could not be good. We don't know. How do we see it?
I think there's already mind games going on between Ferrari and Mercedes. there really is. I mean, Hamilton came out in his press conference, and I think it was the morning of the final day or penultimate day.
Lunchtime? Yeah.
And he didn't even wait for them to finish.
He was like, yeah, Ferrari are half a second quicker than us.
Yeah.
And it's looking like they're really quick. And then he went out that afternoon and he put some really comparable lap times in. And I mean, there was a bit slow, but I think there was a couple of tenths difference between the C4 or fives.
Go on, Cal. It's not what they do, it's how you interpret it, Rich. Go on, Cal.
Well, it is indeed down to how you interpret it, because actually what went slightly under the radar a little bit was that in the afternoon...
And they put on the softs.
Well, actually, they went in the inverse direction and the opposite direction. And
I got it.
Ferrari, I think, with Leclerc, put on the C3s, so it was effectively last year's soft, I think. So they went a couple of steps harder and ended up doing a 16.2 or something like that. So tyre corrected on the softest compound, they were still about half a second faster than Mercedes anyway.
Yeah, that was the lap. I did read about that. That lap that you're talking about there on that C3 tyre just made it, as you say, it kind of goes under the radar. It didn't really kind of pique anyone's real interest. Okay, but it is about, it equates to about being half a second quicker when you put
it
onto those.
It's one of those times that you don't realise it, but when you actually look at it, you think,
imagine if Ferrari were half a second quicker than Mercedes. It would be fascinating to see how they're going to it up this time with all their strategy calls, but maybe they'll get it right. We will see, because obviously we've been waiting for this from Ferrari for about as long as Sebastian Vettel's been waiting for it from Ferrari. That's all good. If you're listening to that going, oh, for f***'s sake, I don't want to hear about the C2, C4, F8 hard tyres, it's okay, because this year, literally, in testing, they're obviously trying different compounds, and there are different compounds, but actually when it comes to a race weekend, they will only use three. That includes practice as well, doesn't it, I think? Does it?
I think so.
They must do, as in practice, they'll still only have the three compounds, won't they?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they'll only be given three compounds, which will be a hard, a medium, and a soft, so that is all that it will be in terms of how it works out.
What is that, what they're actually calling it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they won't use C5, C6, CO2.
Because it's, you know, you start, it's like gibberish, really, isn't it? It's just...
Unfortunately, we've got Kyle here and Nathan to describe it all in testing.
The only confusion is when it's going to come to it and they're going to say, oh, the soft tyres, which this weekend are going to be the C4 or whatever, and then the following weekend the soft tyres will be the C5.
But they shouldn't.
So they're different tyres, but they're still soft.
They shouldn't. Well, I suppose they might bring it up when we get a few races in and they can go, well, the last time they had this compound, blah, blah, blah. But generally, the people who want to know that will therefore know that, and the people who don't give a well can just go, oh, it's a soft tyre, that's great. It does mean we haven't got soft and hard this year, which we were enjoying last year, but it's going to save me some editing time, obviously, apart from this podcast. So there are loads of ways to get in touch with us all here at the NRF1 podcast for 2019, but the best place to start from now on in is our Patreon page, patreon.com/NRF1, where you will find posts, videos, F1 analysis, bonus podcasts, most keenly, and plenty more besides. patreon.com/NRF1. You can also interact with us on social media, and you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The handle for all three is at the NRF1, and you'll also find the link to our Facebook group via the Facebook page.
Can we be a pedant?
Yes.
Should it not be analyses rather than analysis?
That is quite pedantic. Yes, why not? Analysis. I'm just winding you up now. We always love getting your emails, of course, and we read them all, especially if they're about pedantry. The address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. There is also the website with all the links you could possibly need to immerse yourself in this awesome podcast. The address is nrf1.uk. And you guys are all like this. New for 2019 is our WhatsApp service. I put group, but it's not really a group because we have a group, but this is a WhatsApp service where you can submit your audio clips, your video F1 analyses, whatever you want, videos, you can send them to us and we can use them in contributing to the podcast, or you can just send them to us if you sat on your own having a pint and think, you know what, I'm going to send the NRF1 crew a massive rant about Robert Kubica or whoever. You can do all that on our WhatsApp service. Just send a message, send your media to 00447 12486958. That is 00447 12486958.
That's like when the IT crowd tries to make up that emergency contact number. Oh.
Go on, and what happened?
It's quite drawn out.
Okay, we're not going
to
do it.
You'd have to watch it to understand.
Okay.
Never change, Cal.
In my mind's eye, somebody has just laughed at that somewhere in the world.
If you laughed at that, let us know and maybe video it and send it to the WhatsApp service.
I love the fact that
Callum just says, it's quite drawn out.
Okay, it's time for our new section, one I am calling Michael's Norfolk Notebook.
Oh, for God's sake.
Brilliant.
Cue jingle. I don't know what the jingle is, I haven't decided yet, but that was what the jingle was. Did you like the jingle, Rich?
I loved it. Brilliant. You know what, my parents have a piano. I'm going to go back and I'm going to make something up for you. I can't play it, but...
Oh my God, what? Clong, clong, clong. Brilliant.
I'll say that, I can play... A different story, I can play Vindaloo on the piano.
All right, we are really getting horribly off track here. keep that thought and record something and send it on the WhatsApp service. So, this is in no way related to Ted's notebook and is... Because we've got so much Norfolk interest, I mean, predominantly two drivers, but so much Norfolk interest this year... We need to give it its own little bit of love, and we will of course extend this to any other Norfolk connections that prick our interest over the course of the season. This includes F2, where Virtuosi Racing are a Norfolk team. Are they still racing as Russian time?
They're now officially Virtuosi.
Are they?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So they're from Norfolk, so we're going to follow them, and we're going to have loads of Norfolk connections once I get my in gear in this segment. And we've already touched on George Russell. He is making his F1 debut this season in terms of racing. He has of course been in practice. Rich, you've already spoken about him a little bit. He's in a Williams that might be dog but he has got great pedigree and he's had a great rise, and as a Brit, as a Norfolk boy, we hope he does really well. Is he going to do really well, Cal?
Well, he's in a Williams, so no.
And is it what okay, thanks. Try and drag this out a little bit more. What are we hoping for? What when we see George racing, what is it that we can, because I've got sick of following Caterham at the back of the grid. I don't want to do it with George. Give me something here.
I mean, he is very quick.
Brilliant.
But whether he's
span that, draw it out.
Whether he's quick enough to make up the difference between the Williams and the rest of the end of the grid is at the minute doubtful.
It's quite hard to actually pick the end of the grid, isn't it? Because I know we've literally only had testing, but they do all down. Look quite strong.
Yeah, I think fourth down is hard to predict. The whole outside the top three. I mean,
actually, how's this for a hot take? Because allegedly, fuel corrected and tyre corrected, the whole grid from testing, from Ferrari down to like ninth, basically, which is no one in particular, was split by a second.
That's the closest it's been in a long time.
And I just don't see, you know, Haas, Renault, well, there's no point in me just going through all the teams, obviously, but, you know, it really, aside from Williams, who had a real mess of it, it does seem quite... And I mean, there has been some changes to the cars, obviously, they've made, but it's only tweaks, really, isn't it, to some of the aero regulations. And, you know, Kevin Magnussen seems to suggest that they might be able to drive a bit closer to each other, although I'm a little bit sceptical of that, again, given its testing. No one's really racing, and I did see the clip where Lewis Hamilton almost went into the back of Robert Kubica, and that was probably as close as anyone got to each other.
It's a possibility. I mean, I said pretty much through all of last year that what was 2 seconds is this year going to be 1.6, because it's not really meant to be that much of a difference anyway. Although one thing that I would look out for is more DRS overtakes, because people just loved the idea of seeing more of them. Because, well, the flap on the rear wing is massive, and the DRS flap itself, I think, has gotten wide. Well, the gap that you can open the DRS to has gotten wider, basically. So the effect is a lot more powerful. So I think you'd probably see much bigger gains along the straights.
Love it. So what we're really saying for George Russell is go beat your teammate, obviously, because that's always the purest comparison. He has got a slight issue, maybe, that, you know, Robert Kubica, we don't really know where he's at. And then if he can pick anyone else off at times, then we're looking at that being successful for him.
Lance Stroll probably being someone he might be able to target to pick off. Yeah. But you know, he like you say, he's got to beat his teammate, and he's got to be well placed for that. He's going to be used to racing, much more used to racing than poor old Robert Kubica. And if Robert's talking about not being confident, surely George is going to be as confident as he's ever going to be. And if he can do something with the Williams, then it's going to really improve his chances of maybe getting a better drive in the future.
I've forgotten about the walking weapon.
Daddy, they keep overtaking my team. What's happened? What's gone wrong? Daddy!
He is, of course, Canadian.
I mean, touching on Racing Point, there's personally almost a bit of a fear there, because they haven't really... They've kind of had similar problems to what they had last year, where they're almost struggling to get proper updates to the car, it seems.
So. I guess, I mean, that is, of course, the old Force India team. The question there is how much resource and talent have they lost at Silverstone? If they've lost some talent, then that will start to show through. If it's the same team putting the car together, then they'll probably be able to maintain what they've been doing in the recent times. Of course, George Russell raced closely with Lando Norris, who will be at McLaren this year. He doesn't have a Norfolk connection, but he did race at Snetterton a lot, so we'll claim that. He put up his Fantasy League team today, which seemed to be McLaren as his team, three Lando Norrises and two Carlos Sainz, which I don't think is possible and within the rules, Carl, is it?
Well, he does do quite a lot of Photoshop.
Does he?
Yeah.
Has he got a lot of spare time on his hands? Is that or betting?
I mean, he does design his own helmets and race suits.
Does he?
Well, before Formula 1, he designed his own race suits.
Well, he has been back to the hill, so there we go. As, in fairness, has George Russell. A man who hasn't and is making his Formula 1 debut this season too is Alexander Albon. Alex Albon is probably the man you haven't heard of. He's the man who finished just behind Lando Norris in F2 last season, didn't he? Which of course was a title that George Russell won. Lando was in second, Alex Albon third. All three of them, all effectively Brits, although I think Alex drives under a Thai licence, doesn't he? All competing in Formula 1 for the first season, so we'll treat them all as British, and we'll treat Alex as a home racer, because he is basically looked after by someone I know in Norwich. Full Contact is the agency, so he spends quite a lot of time in Norwich, probably more than anyone else who was born in Norwich and Norfolk and then drove in F1. So we are claiming him as a Norfolk's own racer. He's had a phenomenal rise. He hasn't had any of the backing that George Russell and Lando Norris have had, and by all accounts he's probably got the best seat out of the three of them in Toro Rosso, because they seem quite settled in testing. And I have to be honest, I'm looking forward to seeing what Alex can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking through earlier today at some of the testing times, and I know you can't judge these things, but like you say,
no, you can. It's just how you judge
how you interpret them. Yeah, of course. But yeah, he seems to be doing very well, and like you say, he certainly on paper would appear to have the best seat out of the three of them, and looks like he may well do very well.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for him. I was a bit nervous, and I think when he first went out in testing, because I think first lap he went off track and I was like, oh no,
what's wrong with that, that's fine, finding the limits.
First time in an F1 car and he kind of went off in the gravel and I was like, oh no, is he just like really this one up massively? And I was a bit worried.
I'm in the wrong car. Yeah, this isn't a kart.
But then the team came out and said, yeah, something on the car was wrong. So it wasn't this thought. So I was like, that's okay. So he's you know, kept his dignity there. But I'm hopeful for him. I hope he can get some good results and, yeah, do well. And just hope it's not too soon.
You know what? Okay, Rich, all right. That's right. It's good. It's good. It's good. Objective. I like it. I mean, in fairness to Formula 1 teams, they probably would say that anyway. Something broke on the car. You're fine, Alex. Carry on. No, and it definitely wasn't you. Just turned the wrong way. You've obviously followed him a little bit more than the rest of us, Cal. What do you reckon?
He's very good. So in GP3, He was teammates with Charles Leclerc and was a full-on title contender. And in his first year in Formula 2, was fairly good with ART. Certainly wasn't as good as Leclerc, but I think he had an injury halfway through the season, so missed a fair bit. Came back and nearly won in his last race of the season. And then switched over to Dams for last season and ended up, obviously, almost finishing ahead of Norris. But yeah, I mean, he's had a few races where he's been really quite smart. Like, one that really springs to mind is the sprint race in Hungary last season, where basically ended up pushing Luca Giotto to the point that he ended up blaming Pirelli for losing him the race. So always gives you a good indication.
I do like that indeed. And he was, you know, going on during last season when we were talking about who was going through. I do remember you, I'm sure you mentioned him, didn't you, as well, and you sort of a one to watch kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a dark horse in terms of younger drivers that you'd think of coming through, but in terms of the capacity that he's got, I see no reason really why he shouldn't be with Norris and with Russell and in that sort of echelon.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So we'll be coming back to that segment, of course, throughout the season, and try and trailing Norfolk's fantastic Formula One success and continuing so. That's why we're here. What else did I want to have a look at? We kind of touched on this calendar. It hasn't really changed. I think the US and Mexico are basically swapped, so Mexico happens first. I guess the US wanted, you know, a better chance of more glory, I guess. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's over a longer period of time, the calendar, so we're all going to have to be prepared for less time off. In terms of the 2019 lineups, anything that's particularly grabbed any of you? Obviously, Charles Leclerc at Ferrari is all about that really for you, isn't it? And the suggestion that they are free to race, they say, him and Vettel, definitely. Charles and Vettel, definitely free to race. Definitely free. I'm going to definitely be free to race. Free to race.
Free to race until
the lights go out.
Until around Germany, where they say Seb is faster than you. I don't know.
Do you think they'll be free to race, or is that just pointless because he's at Ferrari?
I think they probably will to a point. I think after a few races, if Vettel's more dominant than Leclerc, then I think they probably will start using team orders. But then if you flip that round and Leclerc is consistently beating Vettel, I don't think they would.
And changes at Ferrari, Maurizio Arrivabene has left.
Arrivederci.
Touché. And who is now in his place?
Mattia Binotto.
Which is exciting.
He's kind of like the Italian Ross Brawn, from what I can tell.
That would be exciting.
Yeah, he's kind of the was technical director, essentially. Wasn't really much of a technical-minded person as such when you think about Adrian Newey and that kind of technical designer. But he was far more sort of Ross Brawn, more of an organiser, more of a leader as such.
God, it's not like Ferrari need one of those. Mercedes, we know what we're going to get with Mercedes. I think it's tried and tested now. We'll see if it goes beyond this season, maybe as a partnership. We'll have to see. Red Bull, of course, Honda engine. That's the first point. Max Verstappen and Pierre Gasly. That's because Danny Ric is now at Renault alongside Nico Hülkenberg. I'm absolutely nailing this. That's Danny Ricciardo.
Ricciardo.
It's been a while since I've said it, so
there's
I forgot.
There's a little point about Nico Hülkenberg. Everybody calls him Nico Hülkenberg. However, a few years ago, we had my lad went on a German exchange, and we had a 15-year-old German lad called Tom come and stay with us for a week. And he was a Formula One fan. So we're sitting watching Formula One, and he's telling me how people in Germany generally, to his knowledge, don't like Sebastian Vettel. And then so I said, oh, you like Nico Hülkenberg? And he looked at me, and he who?
Hülkenberg.
And he says, Hülkenberg. And I said, oh, okay. And that's how he pronounced it. I've never heard anyone else call him Nico Hülkenberg other than Tom. But as Tom's German, I figure that Tom knows a little bit about what he's talking about. Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg. I mean, there are letters that aren't in that word. But, okay.
That's how Tom described it and how he pronounced the name. I've never... You'd think that Nico would want that changed, though, wouldn't you, if it was... I don't know. Maybe he doesn't care.
I don't think that people care, which is probably a bit of an issue.
He literally calls himself the Hulk.
Yeah, he has the Hulk written on his race helmet.
Well, yeah, but he keeps going to say, yes, it's the Hulk. Why do people keep saying the Hulk? What is the Hulk? Has anyone seen the Hulk? Okay, Nico
Hutenberg.
I'm not going to get away.
I'm sure that. I think the owl from that one.
In fairness, the issue I had with Danny Rick is that his name was written down and he changed it because no one in Australia could pronounce it right, which I had a major issue with. Whereas, you know, Nico Hulkenberg, I think that was hard
he
to
He seems so laid back, doesn't he?
Yeah. And we'll, of course, see if he's got enough to beat Danny Rick. It'll be interesting. Ricciardo will be interesting.
It will be interesting, actually, those two.
And Renault, too, because I know Ped's been on the podcast like, yeah, Renault, they're going to come good. They've obviously wanted to. They've, you know, this is their third year back. Since they took Lotus and killed it off again. And you know, they came with big hopes. You know, they well, we're going to challenge for this and that, we're going to do this, that and the other. And you're kind of at the point now where it's all right, you know, Enstone, great team, you've pumped a bit more money into it. Your brother's been to Enstone for various things and said it's an amazing setup, so it's kind of time to deliver something a bit better now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they were saying they've gradually been improving year on year. They've kind of returned and it looks good.
I didn't see that in the second half of last year though, did you?
No, they kind of faded last year towards the end, but I think Sainz, to be fair, almost kind of lost interest knowing that he's going to McLaren. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're a surprise package this year. I think Hulkenberg could finally get on the podium. Hutenberg.
The Hoot. Yeah. I mean, that might be. I mean, we used to call him Le Mans winner Nico Hoot. I would just call him something like that. Yeah, I agree, Rich.
But yeah, I think there could be a surprise package. I look forward to seeing what they do,
which is why this part of the season is so much fun, because you don't really know what we're going to get. Okay, so McLaren, we know, is Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris, that's exciting. Toro Rosso is Alex Albon, of course, go Alex, Norfolk. And Antonio Gim, no, he is with Sauber. I'm going to get it right.
Alpha.
It's Danny Kvyat, isn't it? You know, Danny Kvyat. Yeah, Alpha. So then we have Sauber, who aren't Sauber anymore, even though
yeah, Sauber are now in Formula 2.
Okay. Well, that's annoying. Really?
By name. Because actually they're Cheruse.
Okay. Have Alfa Romeo actually bought the team?
No.
But it's just a title sponsorship and a renaming.
Basically. I mean, as far as I can tell, it's still got Sauber on the car. And they still have a Swiss license, funny enough.
And they, of course, have their drivers, who are Kimi Raikkonen and Antonio Giovinazzi. What?
Giovinazzi. Yeah.
Can I just call him Giovinazzi?
Imagine he's Dutch and you call him Giovinazzi.
Well, we don't call him that. But Giovinazzi, we'll get away with that one, I think. Mr. Vinazzi.
I'm just going to call him Gio because I like that.
Well, it's not Gio, it's Joe. Come on, pay attention, Rich.
Yeah, but it's Leclerc and it's not. It's Lee Clark.
Lee Clark, yeah. I'm still waiting to get on our Norfolk expert, Mark Claren. He's going to be on at some point. Get that? Mark Claren. But then he'd have two first names, that wouldn't work.
Then he'd be a shark.
I had a whole list of them.
I said then he'd be a shark. Because Bruce. No.
Wait, is that a Nemo joke?
It's a Nemo joke.
Wow. I'm having fish tonight. Right. Wow. Okay. So I was going through the grid and it was taking me a lot of effort because I haven't done much preparation.
We've got to Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo, yeah, who are not Sauber anymore because they're in F2. And they've got Kimi and Giovinazzi. So he'll be great alongside Danny Rick and Lee Clark, obviously, and Ferrari. Haas, there'll obviously be K-Mag, someone. And Rogro. Who else have we got? Who else haven't I said? McLaren, obviously Mark Laren. I've said them, haven't I? yeah, thanks. How many? Who haven't I said? There'll be someone I forget
it
now.
It was who were Force India.
Yes, Racing Point.
Do you know the smart bit about their name? Because they've got title sponsorship from Sport Pacer. It's stylized in, I think, in their team logo that the point is a full stop. So basically, it's Sports Pacer Racing.
I'm not sure I quite got that, but it sounds clever.
It's stylized as Sport Pacer Racing, full stop. So racing point, as in punctuation mark.
Okay, I've got you. Who are the title sponsors?
Sport Pacer.
Sport Pacer?
Yeah.
What do they do?
Betting.
PESA?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or Sports Peas, as Will Buxton calls them.
Okay, yeah. I think I've seen it. Sports Pacer Racing, full stop.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's like Prince having a symbol.
So in America, do they call it Sport Pacer Racing, period? Or is this like...
Let's hope so. Why not? So they, of course, have got Lance Stroll, because Daddy bought him the team, and he's still Canadian.
Can we do that voice every time we talk about Lance Stroll?
Oh, I have done for months. And who's racing alongside him? It'd be Sergio, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sergio Perez.
Racing.
Yeah. Can I over... No. Can I just go... But he's really slow. No. No, don't... Off.
Lance is faster than you.
But he's clearly not. No, it's fine. It's Daddy! So there we go, that's exciting. I think that's all the teams.
Mercedes?
Yeah, I did those. They were dull. Not fast anymore. Brilliant. And the only other thing I wanted to half discuss is actually probably the biggest, most important issue, which is actually, it's not been a very smooth winter, has it? Liberty, we've had these rumours around that Liberty are like, maybe we'll just jack this in and sell it up. Or it's costing a lot of money. We've not made the money we hoped for. They've been criticised for their handling of this, that and the other. We've still got question marks over races. They don't seem to be making the money they want out of this. And of course, on the back of all this, I don't know where you're listening to this from, but there's a good chance that wherever you are listening to it from, you probably haven't got free to view Formula One coverage. You're going to have to pay for it one way or another, because that's what we've got in the UK pretty much now, certainly live for the first time ever. I think it's only the British Grand Prix will be live to watch on a terrestrial freeview channels, and that is a theme across the world really in terms of how Formula One is dealing with things. So it's a bit weird, isn't it, with Liberty, and we had this sort of bright start, and it's in a bit of a muddy place now.
I think I saw an advert this week for Sky saying that the F1 was going to be £10 only, £10 a month, and I kind of... That just seems a bit much to me. I mean,
that comes with a massive asterisk as well, because I think it was for existing customers, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read that. I didn't read into it.
I would imagine if you, how you're not going to be able to set up Sky and say, can I just have the F1 channel? Because it's like, well, I need your box, and we're going to have to put a satellite on the side of it. And by the way, the Reliant rentals, this, that, and the other. And it's actually a curiosity now. And maybe Bernie was right all along, because F1 did a brilliant job last year with their social media channels. You almost don't have to watch the race live, dare I say, because there are clips and things going up, and you can probably pick up on enough of the race without actually watching it live. And maybe the teams will want that and the sponsors will need that, but actually maybe F1 is like, screw it.
Yeah, but true fans want to watch it live.
We will be.
When it gets 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be waking up at 6 a.m. or whatever time the race starts watching it live.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
It's fine. If you've got kids, I'm sure they'll be up at that time anyway. Yeah.
Not so I can watch the race, though. They'll get in the way. Love them to bits. It's worth pointing out, we've got lots of things planned for this year, and one of them is we're going to hopefully, on the Patreon page, patreon.com/NRF1, we're going to get Twitch involved and headsets. I think we'll probably have headsets. And maybe, you know, we'll do some live watching of F1. Do you reckon, Rich? You're our head chief Twitch manager.
Yeah, sure. I've already got vision.
Have you not sorted it all out yet?
I had it sorted and then I just kind of forgot. I've got visions of it, you know. A couple of us there have our own Ted Kravitz, our own pit lane reporters who can just be in another room and poke their head round. I don't know, it's getting a bit far. But
I don't know, why, who are all these people? You did touch on the, we'll just touch on this as well, controversy with Ted Kravitz, controversy, whether he didn't really appear in Skies. I don't care what Martin Brundle says, he definitely wasn't in that advert. Otherwise you'd have like Ted Kravitz at the front going high. No, he's definitely in there. So he's that one at the back. And of course the suggestion was that he was off, that he is now not off because he has sort of been confirmed as part of Sky's team, but they don't particularly seem that fussed about it. And there's suggestions that the chiefs at Sky were like, we're not bothered with you anymore, and people on social media were, you can't not have Ted Kravitz.
Someone started a petition, didn't they?
Obviously.
Yeah. a Formula One fan started a petition. I think someone on the group, on the WhatsApp group, put up a link to it, and I thought, oh yeah, okay, I quite like Ted. Yeah, I'll sign that. And so I like sort of clicked my name on it, and maybe like 3 or 4 hours later, it was like there was a thing, oh, Sky have confirmed he's actually still with them. So, and I thought, what was all that about? It seemed a bit...
He was just having an extended holiday, I'm sure. He's been doing it for a long time. Short winter break, he probably was just like, I'm off to Barbados.
I think he's got 3 kids now as well.
You know what they say? No publicity is bad publicity. And obviously that started a massive hashtag. Where's Ted?
Yeah, that's a fair point, fair point.
When the list came out of all the people that were involved in it, it was right at the bottom, Ted Kravitz.
Which I agree. I thought that. I thought that's weird, but it was alphabetical order. So they just, they just really lopsided because right. Simon Lazenby was at the bottom, and I was like, Rachel Brooks at the top. I mean, you know, Rachel does a good job, but I wouldn't have put her at the top of your coverage. But it was alphabetical order. No, Sky don't employ anyone whose name begins with anything later than L. There you go. That's something we've learned this winter.
That's a rule for them.
So there we go. Anyway, Ted's not going anywhere, and in the words of Callum, they played a marketing blinder. So make sure you catch all our NRF1 podcast Grand Prix reviews by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. You'll find the link for you. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, Spotify, Radio Public, all of them. Probably they will be all there for you to subscribe and find us and listen to us regularly. But if your player is missing somehow, or there are new ones, because there are always new ones, let us know with an email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Likewise, if there is anywhere you think we should put this, we've toyed over the idea of putting the audio up on YouTube but not really bothered before, but maybe we should. We just put a sticker up of Rich's face there. You could just look at that. Yeah. By the way, he's got two thumbs up and a great cheesy grin. So let us know. We love hearing from you, and your feedback helps us shape what we actually do. If you are listening to us via iTunes, thank you. Please rate and review us. Why not? You can do that. The quick link is nrf1.uk/isonitunes, and you can join the great swathes of reviews we've had, including our failure to be consistently objective about Lewis Hamilton. Love Lewis. Can't keep going on about Lewis every year. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it when, you know, Mercedes rock up a second ahead of Ferrari at Melbourne. Speaking of which, it's Prediction League time. Now, this is exciting. It was a raging success last year, albeit it wasn't kept up to date quite as well as it should have been over the course of the season. That will change this year. We'll be bang on it. You are all welcome to join and be a part of the Prediction League too. Our Patreons have official entry into our 2019 Prediction League, so if you are a patron, congratulations to you. By the way, this season preview is available on all our channels for free, so that's why we're all here. And thanks for listening. So the best performance after each Grand Prix weekend wins a £5 credit that can be redeemed as a total once you've collated all your £5 credits at the end of the season. And you can then use it to buy anything you wish as a balance from either the classic Team Lotus shop or motorsport-merchandise.com. And of course, if you do want to enter just for fun, you can do that too. You don't have to be a patron. Just bear in mind, obviously, our patrons always take priority, especially over my precious, precious time. And you might not get quite as many updates, but we welcome all of you to get involved in the Prediction League because it's brilliant. It's a maximum of 5 predictions per race weekend, and they must be submitted before the start of FP1. That can be to any of our social media and contact channels, and of course that now includes our new WhatsApp group. You'll find the number earlier in the podcast. Good luck to you all. As it's our season preview, we get to predict the season and what happens in Australia. What a place to begin. We do normally do a bonus Patreon podcast. We're not today. This is all in one. So everyone is going to do their predictions right now. Rich, I saw you playing on your phone. Generally, you have these done in advance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because I tweeted them at you, my season predictions.
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
I tweeted them at you and Kyle.
Oh, yeah, that was weeks ago.
And then Kyle responded as well, and you responded in...
That was in a blog post, wasn't it? And that was weeks ago. Was that before testing?
That was like the first day of testing, before anything happened.
I've got to be, remarkable, but be stupid. Surely just wait until someone... No, I'm only joking.
When you do these things, for me, there's no luck involved. Yeah, so it's just...
how you interpret it.
Yeah! Touché.
You just throw some names out there, they've fallen away, and you're like, yeah, fair enough. The only thing I did, I did the Constructors and Drivers Championships, and I did the Drivers, and I realised that two of the teams wouldn't actually be able to finish in that position if their drivers finished where I'd predicted them to. So I had to redo the drivers.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yours are all in blog post. So I tell you what,
I can read it out if you want, but...
Go on, go quickly, do it.
Okay, Constructors, without any justification at all. Ferrari, Mercedes, Renault, Red Bull, Haas...
Harsh on Red Bull.
McLaren, Williams, Racing Point, Alfa Romeo and Toro Rosso. Oh,
he's done a DP there.
Wow.
Predict the whole order.
Wow. Yeah. And
drivers, you need a big breath.
Can this please just be the top 10?
Nope. Hamilton, Vettel, Leclerc, Bottas, Verstappen, Ricciardo, Hüttenberg, Gasly, Grosjean, Magnussen, Sainz, Russell, Norris, Perez, Kubica, Stroll, Raikkonen, Kvyat, Giovinazzi, Albon.
You put f***ing Alex Albon at the bottom. We've got to be patriotic.
Toro Rosso at the bottom of the constructors. Yeah, well, and that's clearly not going to happen, is it?
No, but,
I don't know. They have got Kvyat driving for them, who hasn't been that successful the last few years. But.
So are they your season predictions?
Yeah.
I don't know how. It doesn't quite work out as five, but we'll figure it out.
That's,
don't worry, there's always a way.
Two. They're going to finish in that order.
That's two predictions. Good luck with that. You have more chance of winning the lottery.
My next prediction is that they're all going to be wrong.
Yeah.
I might give you that one, that's fine. Yeah.
In which case, that's right, and then I've.
But then they'd all have to be wrong. So if you managed to get all 10 teams in the wrong position and all 20 drivers in the wrong position, that's a pretty good position. That's a pretty good prediction, really, to be fair. I'd like to think you've got one of those, right?
Who knows? It's guesswork. I could be regretting it by the end of the year, but it's all for fun.
That's the joy.
And you can't make yourself look any more of a tit than I can. So get involved.
Love it. Well said. Okay, what else we got season prediction-wise? Nathan, do you want to go?
Yeah. Well, I think for the season, it will be Mercedes to win the Constructors. Ferrari will come second. Because and I think that what will happen... I'll pan it out for you a little. What I think will happen is Ferrari will start off quick, very quick. They'll be that half a second quicker and Mercedes will struggle. Mercedes will catch them up, gradually reel them in. By halfway, Lewis will have overtaken Vettel and then he will go on and win it at a bit of a canter as Seb implodes, probably into a wall at Hockenheim. Yeah, so that's the way it will pan out. The third will... I think I might go Renault over Red Bull. Because I think the Red Bull, we don't know what they're going to be yet. Their pace has been good in the Toro Rosso car. That's been good. And the Honda engine. But I think I'd switch those two around. And for something a little different, I'd go Renault third. And then Red Bull. And then let's have McLaren. I'll throw them in at fifth. As optimistic. And in Melbourne, it will obviously be Seb will win that race. And I think, I'd probably go Leclerc second. I think it's going to be a 1-2. And then the Mercedes, Hamilton, Bottas, and then Hüttenberg.
Oh my God, it's going to stick. Did you want to get in any Australia predictions?
I did write some down, yeah. Oh. Three different teams on the podium. Oh, I feel bad now because you told me but Russell will finish ahead of Albon.
That's fine. Fourth and fifth, that's a good...
And Stroll and a Williams will collide during the race.
Ready?
And that's it, I'm going to go for three.
Okay, love it.
Keep it easy.
Callum?
Rich Energy will not last the season.
Oh, will we get a can of the stuff as well? That's what I'm hoping for.
But yeah, we should have bought some, shouldn't we?
But you can buy them in packs of 12 on eBay. Was that what we discovered?
No, from Amazon for £30.
Wow. But there you go. We should buy a pack and then give it away as prizes. Anyway, carry on.
It's not a bad prize, actually.
We haven't tried it yet. Let me step in while you think about it, because I've got mine in my head, he says. I think after 10 races, Ferrari will lead both championships. I think Red Bull will finish the season as third place constructor. I think that whoever wins in Melbourne will not win the world championship. That's a season prediction, obviously, because we won't know the answer. And how about that Alex Albon will be the second placed Brit. So he's going to finish behind Lewis Hamilton in the constructors in the Drivers' Championship. And Toro Rosso will be fifth in the Constructors' Championship. I think that's five. And then for Australia... That's a shocking accent. Australia. I think that Williams won't finish inside the top 15. I think that McLaren will pick up at least a point. But they might get really overexcited about it. And I would... And I think that Kevin Magnussen will finish ahead of Romain Grosjean, just to start off the... I mean, K-Mag loves Melbourne. And let's also say that Sergio Perez will teach Lance Stroll a lesson and finish at least three places ahead of his teammate. Boom. There you go.
Yeah.
Cal, the floor is yours.
I think... by the Canadian Grand Prix, so including the Canadian Grand Prix, Charles Leclerc will win a race. I think At least two teams besides Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull will be on the podium at some point. Renault again will be fourth, but I think they might get on the podium. That's not a prediction. They'll be fourth.
What is the prediction?
They'll be fourth.
Okay.
And a fifth one, there will be at least five race winners.
Okay, that's a decent shout, because there weren't many last year, I don't think.
Four?
Yeah.
Three or four?
Are we done? Is that it?
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah.
I think we're done. Good work, everyone. Let's try and... I'm going to try and keep this pod under an hour, but I think I'm failing miserably. Okay, well, that is it in terms of predictions-wise for both the season and, of course, for Australia. If you want to submit yours, you know how to do it. Just make sure either your pre-season predictions or your Australia predictions are in before the start of FP1. You can do it on all the social media channels. You can do it on our new WhatsApp service, 00447712486958. So get those into us, which is all grand, of course. You can do that in writing, in audio form or video, whatever you want. And we might actually see, if we get a lot of predictions in, we might do a little bonus podcast before the season starts, but we might not. Either way, we'll make sure we keep you fully up to date with what everyone is predicting and what the standings are in our following podcasts. And that is us for now. As I said, this was our season preview, so this is what we've got. This is the way we're teeing up the season. Once we get beyond Australia, we will be back with E239. That will be our Australia review, and of course we will then get back on track with our bonus Patreon edition podcast as well, which will be EP239. That will be after the opening round of the 2019 Formula One Championship, when of course we'll start to see what the trends are going to be. Even though it's probably going to be a really chaotic race, we love analysing it and just making wild predictions, just like testing. Hey, Cal?
Wild.
In the meantime, a big thank you to the Future Radio crew. A thank you to the Rush Cutters for putting up with us and pouring us some drinks. And of course, thanks to these guys. Thank you very much, Rich.
No, thank you.
Good to be back.
Definitely, yeah. I've been waiting for this for however many weeks it's been since the last one.
Good morning. Thanks, Callum.
Thank you.
You can get back to your sim racing now and get your practice in for that esports career.
I've got to have it delivered first.
Oh, you haven't even got it yet?
No.
Nathan, thank you so much for missing the football.
Thanks very much for having me.
Do you know what the score is?
It's still 0-0.
We've all been following it. That's just the way it is at the moment. So brilliant. Thank you so much to all of you guys. We really appreciate it. And of course, we'll have all of the crew will be coming in and out. We may well have a few new voices over the course of the season, as well as the familiar faces via voice over the season too. We're in a great place with the podcast and really looking forward to our 8th season covering Formula One from here in Norfolk. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The 2019 season is previewed. All we need now is lights out and away we go. Good night.